Good evening. Appreciated that song also that we sang. I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight, and so forth. Heed what he saith and do what he willeth, it said. It's a very good song to sing. As I said last night, I want to finish up the sermon from last night. Might have had too much prepared for it, but last night we looked at the intelligence we need to have, the information we need to win this battle of overcoming this war that we're in. And tonight I want to look at strategies, practical ways in which we can overcome. And I want to go back to 2 Peter. I invite you to turn there. The 2 Peter chapter 1. And I would like you once again to stand, and we're going to read from verse 3. Through verse 14. Read it together. Everyone together. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto light, godliness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these he might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. Forgotten, and that he was for old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. I think it meet, long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus showed me. All right, I appreciate the prayer that was offered already, but let's pray our short little prayer now. Let's pray. Father, what we know not, teach us. What we have not, give us. What we are not, make us. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to look at strategies for overcoming tonight. The science or art of military command exercise to meet the enemy. To meet the enemy under advantageous conditions. That's what I want to talk about tonight. The science and art of military command exercised to meet the enemy under advantageous conditions. I think I have 6 points for tonight, and I would like you to follow along and see how we can add to our arsenal in overcoming this battle with sin and making it to glory one day. Number one is call sin what it is. Simple. There are too many people that think sin is a bad habit. It is a It is a weakness. It is a sickness. But dear ones, it cannot be treated with pills. It is not a sickness, physical sickness. It is spiritual sickness. But we must call sin what it is. And Peter here was very blunt about what he had to say about sin. He called it corruption. And I looked up the word corruption and I was surprised to see that it is a dead human corpse that is stinking and decaying. That is the description that Peter used for corruption, for sin, for this worldliness. It stinks. It is decaying. You know, roadkill stink. You walk along the road, it stinks. People die and they decay. They turn ugly. That's what sin is. That's corruption. It is a view that we need to have for sin. We need to call sin what it is, regardless of our habit, regardless of our propensity to sin, regardless of our besetting sin. We need to call it what it is. If you are into habitual sin or habit-setting sin, you are, like we said, we are blinded by this world, and it stinks. It stinks. It's ugly. And ultimately, it's going to be the determination of your eternity. What you do with that sin. No, the songwriter says, no sin will enter there. So let's call sin what it is. It is against God, against the law, against the scriptures. And it will eventually either, what we do with that sin will either allow us into glory or will keep us from glory and we will go to the lake of fire. It's that serious. It's that simple. It's a clear-cut choice we have. Call sin what it is. Number two is equally as simple, and I'll be equally as blunt. We need to choose our side. Which side are you on? You cannot be on both sides. Scriptures are clear all over the place. Scriptures say that you cannot serve God and mammon. You need to choose your side. You cannot be a gray Christian. You cannot be a halfway Christian. You need to choose the side you're on. And which side is it? Are you on God's side? Are you on the side of Satan and the devil and the world? We need to realize the corruption that is in the world through lust. Choose your side. Faith is the side you need. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Let's turn to 1 John 5 and verse 3 and 4. I was really impressed with these verses today as I studied for this message again. 1 John 5 and verse 3, it says, For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. There it is, faith in the scriptures. Obedience to the scriptures. Those who keep his commandments. They're not grievous. They're not hard. Not compared to the choices we have. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Obedience to the scriptures. I heard a preacher say one time that that's a good little Mennonite word, obedience. And I thought about it. He was kind of making fun of it. And I said, thank God. We're of a Mennonite heritage. And to a large degree, the Mennonites have tried to keep the commandments. And I can almost be proud of that heritage. There is a connection, though, between obedience to the scripture and the ability to overcome, and it is called faith in God's word. Furthermore, when we choose our side and we get ourselves into the scriptures, we must know what it is to receive the word of God, not just read it. Receiving the word of God, not just reading it. Turn with me to James 1 and verse 21. James 1 and verse 21 says that, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. It's imperative that we receive the word of God. It's not just getting down by or sitting our recliner and reading the word for 15 minutes every morning or evening or both, whatever it is. But we receive with meekness, and we read the word of God, and they say, we look at the principles and say, that's for me today. That is what I'm going to do. That is, I will, God, help me to do this. I haven't been doing this. I want to receive the word. Thank you. Receiving the word with meekness. And with the engrafted word, you know, how many of you have been around fruit trees? How many of you know what it's like to graft a fruit tree? What happens? Somebody say. What happens when you graft a tree? Okay, you get it to bear fruit. Well, here you have the engrafted word. And that's what it means. Implanted, and it grows into us. Grows in us. And the fruit that we have is from the implanted word of God, the engrafted word in our mind. And so as we read the word and it becomes engrafted in us, as we receive it, it only becomes engrafted as we receive it. My dear people, today, tonight, one of the key things in choosing your side and winning this battle of overcoming is receiving the word of God, not just casually reading it. You know why? This is so important. James says right here in this verse that if you do this, it will save your soul. A big deal. That's a big deal. Saving your soul. You'll come out right in eternity. Choose your side. Many of us know the story of David and Goliath. David was there with the camp, Israelite camp. And he looked down in the valley, across the valley, and he saw Goliath there. And what did he say? What did he say? Did he say, let's go down there and negotiate with this guy? Let's go down there and see if we can come to some common ground? can we go down there and see if we can work something out? He said, what shall be done with this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And he grabbed his slingshot and stones and went down there and met him. Too many people are not taking this approach to facing the enemy. Folks, we have the Word of God. It's our slingshot. And it'll defeat the enemy. And you can go down there. I'll guarantee you that if you're into the Word of God and receiving the Word of God, you are going to win. I can do it by faith. Believe Jesus' words, that now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Number three is unleash the Spirit of Jesus. And I would like you to turn with me to Romans 8 and verse 13. Romans 8 and verse 13. Point is, unleash the Spirit of Jesus. Romans 8 and verse 13 said, if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. That's pretty blunt. That's pretty simple. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds, which means kill, mortify, same root word as mortician, and so forth. If ye through the Spirit do mortify or kill the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Many of us think that, well, what's that mean? How can we do that? How can we kill something? Kill the flesh by, how can we mortify the deeds of the body and then live? I want to give a personal testimony. When I was young, I had fell into the habitual sin of pornography. And I struggled with this thing, and I struggled with it, and I struggled with it, and I was being defeated time after time. Day after day, week after week, month after month, and I suppose it went to years. And so I talked to somebody about this, and they told me that Romans 8:13 is the verse that you need to follow and implant in your mind. And we went to the Word of God and we looked up Romans 8:13. And he said, simply put, Romans 8:13 says when you are faced with temptation, you pray. You pray. And guess what? It works. It works. It didn't work right away. It didn't work completely. But over a period of weeks or months, as I would come to temptation to do this horrible thing, I would pray, and Satan would take the desire away. Young fellows, there is victory, and it does work. And it's called prayer. You can win. Unleash the Spirit of Jesus. Mortify the deeds of the body through prayer. Enable the Spirit. Call on the Spirit of God. Pray. Unleash the Spirit of Jesus. In addition to pray, you must turn from the spirit of the world. 1 Corinthians 2 says that we have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know things that are freely given to us of God. Many Christians are weak and experiencing spiritual atrophy because they are trying to serve, because they are only trying to serve God. They're not availing themselves of the power of the Spirit. I know what spiritual atrophy is like. It means you don't have the muscles. I know what physical atrophy is like. I had a stroke one day, and since that time, my muscles have been affected. I have physical, muscular atrophy to a certain degree. It is when you can't do things. Like, I could never play volleyball. I don't think I'll ever play volleyball again. It's something I love to do. But I have this muscular atrophy. Do you have spiritual atrophy? You can overcome it. The therapy is in God's Word. Unleash the Spirit of Jesus. Choose singing over country music. The Bible says so. My Bible says in Colossians 3, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Unleash the Spirit of Jesus. Sing like you do here. It's wonderful. But country music, contemporary music, worldly music is very spiritual, and it saps your spiritual vitality to overcome. David was playing to King Saul after King Saul had lost his, the Spirit of God had departed from Saul's heart. And David, no doubt, was playing godly music. And Saul finally got, I think, these convictions stirred within him. And he got to the place where he had to make a decision. Am I going to serve God or am I not going to serve God? And he picked up his spear and threw it at David. That's a little bit the way it is with music. Worldly music is an invitation to Satan's kingdom to come in to your heart. Worldly music is an invitation to Satan's kingdom to come into your heart. Music is very spiritual. It's spiritual. Godly music is spiritual for one kingdom, and the world's music is spiritual for Satan's kingdom. What are you listening to? Are you overcoming? What for music is filling your heart? Unleash the Spirit of Jesus. Choose worship, both personal and corporate worship, over fun and play. Folks, go to church on Sunday. And there's nothing wrong, and I think there's a lot right about refraining from big volleyball games on Sunday, on the Lord's Day. Don't do that. Surely the God is good enough to us that we can serve him completely one day out of the week. Unleash the Spirit of Jesus. Number four, choose a godly lifestyle. Cultivate growth. Growing is an evidence of life. Choose a godly lifestyle. Are you growing? Can you tell that you are growing? Sitting still. We had a child that stopped at 8 years old. We would call the doctor, stop growing at 8 years old. But how about you in your Christian life? Are you stagnant? Are you stopped growing? Are you sedentary? Are you in danger of dying your spiritual life? Peter said, "For if ye do these things, ye shall be neither barren nor unfruitful, and you need to add to faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and so forth. You will need to be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus." Is your character growing? Are you satisfied with where you are at spiritually? Are you in a quest to be more like Jesus? More and more like Jesus. Are you always striving for more? Folks, as I said last night, our arsenal to defeat Satan has the ability to bring every thought into obedience. Fifthly, live in escape mode. Live in escape mode. Live deliberately, turn from sin. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, and faith, and patience, and so forth, meekness. Flee the love of money. It's the root of all evil. I've heard many theological gymnastics about that verse and trying to make it say what it doesn't. But the Bible clearly says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And it says flee. Flee. The Bible also says flee youthful lusts. That word flee means escape. But follow after righteousness, faith, and charity, and peace. Flee. It doesn't do any good to flee if we don't fill our lives with something better. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. flee from idolatry. What's your idol? What's your idol? Is it your pickup? Is it your Jeep? Is it your looks? Is it your hair? Is it your dresses? Flee. Flee. Idolatry. Peter gives us a strong warning in 2 Peter 2. Said, if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled and overcome, the latter end is worse than the beginning. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow to her wash, that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. How despicable is that? A dog that pukes. That's ugly. That's despicable. But returning again. To sin and the world. Country music, contemporary music, whatever. I could add Southern gospel is worse than the beginning. Finally, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. Moses boldly said to the children of Israel, consecrate yourselves this day to the Lord, even every man upon his son and upon his brother, that he may bestow upon you a blessing this day. Dear ones, consecration brings a blessing of God. What more do we need? How important is that? Oh, my dear people. God's blessing is vitally important to overcoming sin. Consecrate yourself. Give yourself fully over. In that setting, don't have the time to go there. And the Lord said unto Moses, whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of the book of life. Him will I blot out of the book of life. Moses went to the heavyweight job of interceding for the children of Israel, that they would be consecrated to God. If there's anything left of you, the nature of God will not dwell with you. The divine nature will leave. If you choose to go down the road of sin in the world, the divine nature will leave. We're a new creature. And your desire makes all the difference. Are you consecrated to Him? When you make a mistake, do you weep over your sin? That's what it says. Godly sorrow. Bring its repentance. and repentance in the sorrow of the world work death, but repentance bringeth salvation. Consecration. May God bless you all as you are overcome this world and the sin that so easily doth beset us. Pray for each other, and you may overcome. Pray for yourself, but just remember. And I guess the special message that I have for you is Romans 8:13. It's a wonderful privilege to know that the Spirit will aid you. God be with you. Let's stand for closing prayer. Oh God, help us, keep us, and teach us. We pray for this group of overcomers. We pray that they would boldly choose sides. They would employ the Spirit of Jesus in overcoming the sin that is so easy to be entrapped in. Be entangled. Oh God, help them and be with us all and bless this evening for your glory. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.